Hello, friends. Welcome to Islington Listens, wisdom from a community of faith that doesn't think the same, vote the same, or love the same, but we are trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus with compassion and hope. I'm Reverend Maya, and I'm so excited to welcome you to our five-part series based on the work of Janet Geer in her book, Undivided Love, Navigating Landscapes of Living Faith. Her work has given our community insight into how different we are and how much we need each other. She reminds us that faith's first language is life. Let's dig in. So we start with this window. For 3 weeks, this window has been a symbol for us of the lens through which we see the world. Also, it's through a window that you can look out on your own community. You can observe people, notice their actions. Perhaps you have a neighbor who is always at their window. You can wonder about their lives. You can pray for your neighborhood. This window has led us to the lived banquet of faith. Through it, you see our affirm candle that reminds you that this is a community that doesn't think the same or vote the same or love the same, but we are trying our best to invite others and to go together one step at a time, following in the way of Jesus. Surrounding this window are symbols. We've been adding them each week because when I proclaim that, what's interesting is that in churches all across the United Church, there are some threads that we have in common. We may be different, but we could almost see it through five different ways. Noticing our lived faith, because faith's first language is life. We pull up a chair at the banquet table of God. And we find our place there. We remember that for each table of lived faith at this banquet, there's a place of relationship with God. This is the landing pad for our love of God. It's a destination or an inclination of the Spirit's nudging within us. So this place of encounter becomes a way we live or express our faith. For some of us, we have been pulling up to these tables our whole life. For others, we're just finding our way and our space and our seat. For the evangelicals amongst us, it is the stranger to Christ who they're drawn to. For the ecclesials, it's the called and beloved gathered community that praises and proclaims love and service, the church. For the missional, it's the neighbor in need. For the ecumenical, it's the brokenness in the world that needs healing. And for the spirituals, it's the imminent presence of God. You may find yourself wanting to be at all five of those tables at the banquet. But as we explore this together, you'll find one that feels most at home. You will be interested in one that you haven't got to sit down and share a meal with, or you might have worshiped beside for years and not know that that's the table where they're most comfortable. Each of these schemas brings a gift. Each is a path for healing and grace. Each attempts to follow in the way of Jesus the best they know how, and each needs the other. The banquet table is a symbol or a metaphor not only for our congregation, but for this United Church of ours. A representation of five different ways of living out our faith while all belonging at the same table, God's table. The same family, but with unique and valuable ways of seeing God and understanding how God is active in the world, and in turn, how that affects each person's lives of faith and how they serve God in the world. It's called lived theology, but we don't always want to bring that up when we're at table together. It's easier to talk about how good the food is. For 2 weeks ago, we started on this journey with the evangelicals, the sign of the cross, but also the awareness of Palm Sunday and the tulips as a sign of resurrection and Easter. Those who live their faith by being messengers of the good news of Jesus. And last week at communion, we added the ecclesials, the bread and the cup, for those whose hearts are deeply rooted in this gathered community, that don't want anyone to eat alone and continue to draw the circle wide. This place, these people, being the body of Christ together. And this week, we're adding the missionals, the pitcher and the bowl and the towel, because over the years, these have become the symbols of Christian service, of compassion. Each of these are needed at the table, and each of these is connected to a part of Jesus' life. This week, we acknowledge that over and over, as in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus sees someone in need and he helps them. He does not turn away from them. He goes to them and he helps them. And Jesus doesn't give up on people in need. We know people like that, people who run towards those in need and offer their assistance. They are the missionals among us, those whose lived faith brings them into direct contact with human suffering and social need. Reverend Janet Geer, who's done this work, writes, "The missional is the person whose faith is lived in proximity to the immediate needs of strangers. For the missional, God is at work in the world through Christ's disciples whose compassion and love of neighbor heals and restores lives and quietly witnesses to the power of God's love." Although the image of the bowl and towel calls us to Maundy Thursday and Jesus washing the disciples' feet, it also harkens to the number of times where he stopped and noticed and responded. I've also placed on our table the statue that you can find in full life size at Regis College. It is the statue of the homeless Jesus, and after church, I know Tom will zoom in on it if you're at home, but after church you can notice it. It's tied to the scripture where Jesus asks us to love our neighbor. In Matthew, he says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." We notice the needs in our world and we follow in the way of one who responded. I also brought, which I received in my Stephen ministry training, which is a statue of a cross where the community is carrying the cross. It comes from Peru, and it reminds me that when people respond with compassion, they carry the needs of others together. And because of that, it's possible even to meet the deepest of needs. Noticing respect for human dignity, and unflinching compassion in the face of suffering. And these missionals are among us. They're part of our church family, and they might not be here this morning because they might be living this out in their work. I was thinking of all the shift workers who can't always be at church at 10:30. Nurses, doctors, social workers, counselors, teachers, medical researchers, firefighters, caregivers, military and prison chaplains, diaconal community ministers. Those are all examples of people who are living out their call to meet immediate needs in the world. And I had a bit of an epiphany with friends this week when I read these two chapters in Janet Geer's book about the missionals. Having read about the ecclesials who sometimes feel like they've failed if the next generation isn't present and part of building the body of Christ here, they worry that the church has run its course. Because I know that many of you look around and wonder, where are your grandchildren? Where are your children? Raised in this place, but doing other things on Sunday morning. But how many of them are working in the world, in healthcare, in caregiving, in places that are making a difference in people's lives? How many of them are volunteering or serving or starting up GoFundMe pages or responding in places where the immediate need is real? When others feel at one with God or whole in themselves or at peace in the world through prayer or togetherness or justice seeking or silence, missionals experience this in hands-on acts of kindness, care, healing, and presence. It's the feeling that people talk about when they help another and receive just as much in return. The missionals might not be in Sunday morning worship because they're out and about in the world offering acts of kindness and care, healing and presence whenever they can. The hands and feet of Christ, serving by grace each other's needs. Missionals understand the church not as a place, but as an activity. They don't go to church. They are being the church. And over a decade ago, some youth and young adults reminded us that the church goes out into the neighborhood and is still the church. And when the GO Project was born, there was an invitation that Islington would be the host of youth and young adults from across the country who would come and stay here and learn about what it means to do mission in our context, to be the hands of feet and Christ in our neighborhood. And they would come for 2 weeks at a time and sleep on the floor in the basement. And many of you have stories about the GO Project, and it continues to this day. But one of the powerful things about that was that when they were here and away from their home, they got to think about how they, when they returned, could be part of acts of healing and care in the immediate place where they lived. The GO Project had a theme song that might resonate with you. It has a little chorus that kind of carries us out in the world. It's often used at the end of the service, so don't run out of here, okay? We'll just go make a difference. We can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. That's the chorus. I think you can try it. Here we go. Ready? Go make. Of that core, in the verse 2 of that song, we are the hands of Christ reaching out to those in need, the face of God for all to see. We are the spirit of hope. We are the voice of peace. Go make a difference in the world. The missionals knew that being the gathered community of Christ was to prepare you and help sustain you so you could go out into the world. Author Christopher J.H. Ray, in his book, The Mission of God's People, wrote, "It is not so much the case that God has a mission for God's church in the world as that God has a church for God's mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church was made for mission. The church doesn't have a mission, the mission has a church. God's mission of love and forgiveness, of grace and acceptance for all, has a church. It has a structure we can meet, where we can gather and learn and grow and support and love one another, and where we're called to go forth from, so we might share God's mission with the world. For some of us, it worked so well that we sent our young ones way out into the world and have to trust that the way that they are serving is connected to deeply to God. We need to unpack the word mission and missional because we recognize it has a word with a lot of history. According to Broadview Magazine, mission is more than just a word. It's shorthand for an entire system of colonization that wreaked havoc here in Canada and around the world. The shadow of the missionals is that when they are not aware, they can run right out and offer care without asking what their neighbors need. They can get so gung-ho and think they know what's best, particularly when the ones caring have more resources and power than those receiving the care. Missionals in their shadow can patch the wound without looking at the body. It's why they need another part of the body to work side by side. The ecumenicals, who we'll hear more about next week. Because the gift of the church is that each part needs the other. In fact, they need to work together in order to work together for the true healing of the world. The ecumenicals ask, why? when they notice that something is harmed. They think systemically. They are the ones who help the missionals not to become too attached to the problem, which gives us something to do, but rather look at the cause, which may force us to rethink who we are. You may be a doer. You may wake up ready and energized to make a difference, and you need someone to come alongside you amidst the busyness and what you think is right to just check what may be the best way forward for the neighborhood. We know that that's actually a practice of asking questions. Jesus says over and over in his healing stories, "What do you want me to do? What can I do for you?" Asking gives power to the one in need, and not asking puts you in danger of not being able to offer care. We have learned. We continue to learn. It's why I say every week we're trying our best to follow in the way of Jesus, because we know in our history that there have been times where we have failed, where we have asked forgiveness, and where we have been invited into a new way. We do not understand missionals in this way. They are amongst us and within our church. They are not focused on converting folks to Christianity or insisting on those who are distraught that they need to be saved, but rather missionals have their feet on the ground, offering practical and tangible help to anyone in need, just as Jesus did. He could have preached a sermon, but he left them with parables. He could have talked about the kingdom of God, but he invited people to experience it through healing and feeding. Inspired by Jesus' ministry of healing and inclusion and compassion, missionals reach out and do what they can. They truly believe that this is how they should show their love for God and how they see God's love in the world, through acts of kindness. And sometimes they're not amongst us because they see us not at our best or not moving fast enough to meet the needs of what God is calling to. They wrestle with what it means to go together when it feels like there are fires that need to be fought. And so when I think of the hymn that we'll sing following the sermon, "We Are Pilgrims on a Journey," it says, "Fellow travelers on the road, here to help each other, I will hold the Christ-like for you. I'll hold your hand. I'll weep and laugh with you. Let me be your servant." The missionals, one of five lived faith among us, are the doers, who are called to love, to heal, to protect, to accompany, to put oneself between another and danger, to struggle, to be in the midst of pain and loss, aware of their own experience and connecting it to the needs of others. They embody love in action. Whatever the motivation or the context for missionals, they know that God is met on the holy ground, where compassion becomes concrete. You can identify them almost the easiest because so much of their lived faith is faith in action. So to those of you who identify as missional, your heart is pure and beautiful. You protect the church from isolation. You prevent us from romanticism about what it is to follow Jesus, from an exclusive perspective on whom God loves, from spiritualism about gospel's call to love, and from an elitist version of Christian discipleship. You get us out of our head, into our hearts, and moving into the world. So today, I thank the missionals for reminding us of Jesus and inspiring us to go and do likewise. Thanks be to God. Thanks for listening, friends. For other ways to connect, go to islingtonunited.org. May God's wisdom and love keep finding you.